joined now. We had promised Rice County Sheriff Jesse Thomas, but I don't want to insult the sheriff and say we've upgraded, but it's always fun to talk with Captain Nathan Boudin from the Rice County Sheriff's Department. Good morning, Captain. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. You and I have talked before. We usually talk right about this time of year every year because you lead the dive team with the Sheriff's Department. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Yes. Before we get into that, you and I were talking. We were all just talking about like your umbrella of responsibilities. Tell us, Nathan. Tell us everything you do.
I oversee the investigations in the courthouse security fall under my umbrella, but they both have a sergeant that is part of the day-to-day operations. Mm-hmm. Things that I'm more hands-on with would be our mobile field force unit, our water patrol, and our dive team.
Okay.
And then a bunch of other administrative stuff.
Which is not as much fun.
Right.
What is a mobile field force unit?
So that would be what you would think of like for riots.
Oh, okay. You know, stuff. All right. You're the guy that cracks.
Yeah, we've got a lot of equipment that we have to maintain and keep track of and coordinate when we have to get deployed for that.
I would think so. So let's start with the dive team stuff. Sure. Because we're sort of in between seasons here, right?
Yeah, right.
But you were talking about how the ice wasn't really good at all this season.
Yeah, it was a weird year. We had this spring before when the ice was still good, several inches that people were driving on. We had four different holes we marked.
Oh, really?
That just opened up. And I wish I could tell you why, and I don't know. But the sheriff's office doesn't like monitor the thickness of ice. We're not out there all the time. Yeah. But we'll get complaints where someone will notice a big hole and it was bubbling. And so some people were thinking it was methane gas or springs. We had a few holes that right around it were several inches thick, and it was wide open. Some were 9-10 feet wide open that a car could drive into.
Wow.
So we would drive out there and take some wooden laths, put them in the ice, let them freeze in, and run some caution tape around them, and then of course do some type of notification on our Facebook page.
But right.
Yeah.
Did you have I know there was one drowning in Correct. Rice County this year, but did we have many vehicles go through the ice?
We didn't.
That's
no.
good.
Knock on wood. Yeah,
we did. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was still.
No. So yeah, the ice is off now, but we did. We did have one drowning where a person drove an ATV into some open water and didn't survive.
Yeah, so. that's too bad. But this time of year, you're sort of gearing up for water patrol season. What does that all entail?
Yeah, so right now we're in the process of hiring some seasonal temporary water patrol deputies each year. This year, hopefully, we'll have a couple that come back that return this year, and then we hire a couple extra as well. So we're in the process of that. We've had a testing weekend where they do a swimming test, interviews, and backing up boats and trailers and stuff like that. So we're in the process of the background phase of four individuals right now and hoping to bring them along. Another thing that we're doing is now that the ice is off, we do put out buoys. It's always a good reminder.
Mm-hmm.
We assist some lake associations, which is on Circle, Shields, and Roberts. And so we assist with putting buoys out there.
Okay.
So as people get their boats out of storage. Always a reminder that, buoys are temporary things. It doesn't they don't mark all the hazards. Sometimes they drift off, so make sure to check your maps and your GPS and everything, I can just say right now, too, I was thinking of getting the boats out of storage. It's always a good reminder to check your registration. Usually those come in the wintertime. You put them in a drawer. Push pin them to a bulletin board, and then you forget to put them. You forget to actually put it on the boat when you dig it out. That's one of our most common things that we warn people about. Yeah,
You guys are going to be getting your boats out of storage, but you got a fancy new storage facility.
Yes, we do. It's nice.
Yeah. I got a chance to look at that garage a little bit when I toured the new facility. How does that affect what you guys are doing? How is the new safety center enhance your ability to do your job?
There's so many things. We made so much happen, just with what we had, right?
Yeah.
We did a really nice job with that. But I can tell you just like you're talking about a shed. So if people don't know, there was a building, you know, built. You know, the jail is connected to the where the patrol and investigations and evidence and everything else, and that one building is all connected together, and there's a separate building that has all of our storage of ATVs and boats and trailers and a lot of stuff that we had kept outside for years.
Right.
And we talk about lot rot, you right. know, and this stuff just sits there and rusts. And,
yeah.
And so it's so nice to have everything inside now. And you're talking about, you know, sometimes when we get deployed, you know, our dive team was had everything just with trainings or just when we get call outs. This winter, yeah. we were able to wash everything in a heated, well-lit,
my gosh.
You know, building. That I mean, it's so nice to be able to maintain your equipment.
Yeah.
And it's when it's right next to you. You know, it was at our annex before.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's not that it's horrible driving mm-hmm. back and forth across town, but it's a lot nicer just to walk across a parking lot.
So
throw some. Battery chargers on stuff, you
right,
know, just
right.
all these little things that we yeah. have that we didn't have, saving so much time. It's so much nicer. It's yeah, it's wonderful.
Does the new facility allow you to reduce your response times?
I would say so for sure. Just during the day when everybody's there, when
yeah.
we got called out for a recovery here about mm-hmm. a month ago,
mm-hmm.
we have. A lot of deputies that will be working, whether it's investigators or administration, or if a deputy's typing a report in there,
sure.
that they're right there,
yeah.
right next to the shed
right.
to hook up, you know. And even if they're not going to be a part of the dive team, they can start the bus up. They can pull it outside, get everything ready,
right.
and have it in the parking lot.
Right.
So when people are there with the dive team and numbers are there, we can go.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So you you mentioned investigators,
yep.
and you lead the investigation team as well. When I toured the facility, it was a good surprise. But I was really surprised to see the number of offices there are for investigators. There's a lot of investigators that work in Rice County. Far more than I would have thought. But you're telling me that the sheriff's department, but there's other responsibilities for some of the other investigators as well.
Yeah, I'll correct you. I don't lead them. They
okay.
they're good crew. I am a resource and I do support
okay.
them, but they are a well-oiled machine down there and they do great work but they have a sergeant that
right,
leads
right.
yeah, so but no, you were asking before just kind of
yeah.
what the structure is
yeah.
and how many we have and so the way it's set up, we have a sergeant of investigations,
mm-hmm.
and then we have three investigators and a welfare fraud investigator.
Okay,
so that's just the sheriff's office. But when you went down the hallway, you notice more doors.
Yeah,
those were for the Cannon River Drug and Violent Offender Task Force.
Oh, yeah.
So they were housed at Faribault Police Department,
mm-hmm.
and now they've moved over to this new building with us.
Okay,
and so that's made up of Northfield Police Department, Faribault. The Rice County Sheriff's Office and the Seward County Sheriff's
right,
Office.
Right. Okay. So. Yeah, and I mean those guys do a good job. I mean, when I was news director, I would get some, you know, every couple of months I'd get a press release, and there would be some really impressive situations that they had taken down. It was pretty cool. I'm curious though. We were talking. I know very little about what an investigator does. I mean, I know that an investigator, that person's the detective, basically. They figure
yeah.
out what the heck. But, like, you know, can you tell us a little bit about, is it like on TV or how
yeah,
does it
we
how
can
does it
pretty much solve anything in an hour minus commercial break.
Okay.
Is that what you're
yeah. yeah, exactly. Oh God, exactly.
Yeah. You nailed it.
And you always get the bad guys.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. 100%. Yeah. No, I mean, so think of it this way. We get calls, right, through dispatch.
Yeah.
Our patrol officers respond to those. And sometimes the cases are a little too big for patrol because they don't have capacity and
mm-hmm.
they don't have the resources. So then they would call an investigator. So it can be anything from a theft, you know, to a murder. Sometimes it's, you know, patrol can take a call and follow up on a theft and they have time.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be something where it's on their last day before they're on a stretch of days off, right? And so they'll ask for assistance.
Sure.
So what that assistance looks like can be processing crime scenes, right? Follow-up interviews, evidence collection. You know, there's a lot of different things that you can collect. Is when you say evidence, evidence can be physical. It can be something you can touch. It can be something that can be swabbed. It can be something that is digital. You know, we have we do have the ability to dump cell phones. You know, and remove data from phones and other electronic devices. And so, yeah, they do that. They some of the things child protection. You know, when you're talking about interviewing children, that's not just like interviewing a an adult, right? And so, social services and the investigations unit, they really work close together when it comes to child protection cases. So that's one big thing. We do have an investigator that's trained in internet crimes against children. It's called ICAC.
Wow.
Yeah. So they, so we send them to a lot of specialized training to do a lot of different things. But really, when you look at a case, it can be very simple at times, or it can be very complex. And if a person, a patrol deputy, doesn't have the time, or there's only a few of them on at the time, sometimes they get called in from home to assist with it. And yeah, that's just, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. And then these, are these the people that do the interrogations also? Or, I mean, do they have the one light that they shine just right on the person? And you, where were you on August 23rd?
Yeah. Not quite like that. Yeah. No, yeah. So, I mean, for sure, interviews are a big part of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a lot of times when you're looking at it, it's solving crimes, right? Yeah. I mean, you have witnesses, you know, you have evidence, and then you have statements. And so statements is what we would call interviews and interrogation.
Yeah.
And so they do a lot of those interviews as well.
Interesting. Interesting. Yep.
And sometimes they wear plain clothes, you know, and so sometimes when they're talking to other people, you know, and they go out, you know, it doesn't have that uniform presence as well.
Right.
Right. So it's, sometimes it's more approachable. And so,
Cool. Cool.
That's a very, very general description of an investigator. Yeah.
That's all
There's
right.
There's a lot more to it. They do a lot of our actually employment backgrounds as well.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah,
oh.
We do a very thorough and background investigation for our employees. So, yeah. And so they do quite a few of those.
All right. So what else? I mean, you brought notes upon notes here. So what else you got there?
Oh, I don't know. Just always a reminder about the rivers.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
that's coming up too. We're hosting a swift water rescue training here in about a month. And so we're bringing some people in from Colorado to help us with that. So
cool.
Yeah, we have.
I was just curious, swift water. So could you just elaborate on that a little more?
So what we'll be focusing on is think of the river, right? If every year we have rescues, recoveries out on the river, it feels like. And a lot of times it comes from, you know, inexperience. I'll be honest, these rivers we have here are not for novice.
Right.
They're full of sticks.
Yeah.
There's a lot of debris in it, still from the tornado. You know, I mean, so they're still there and they're not going to go anywhere. And so think of it's always the river's always moving versus like a pond or a lake where the water's still. So what we'll be working on is ropes, bringing, you know, from shore to shore, bringing them across with lines, high wires, and then in a pulley systems to with one of our inflatable boats and working on rescue recovery off of that.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's a 3-day class. It's 2 days of in the water and then 1 day, the first day is classroom.
That sounds really complicated.
Yeah.
And you guys have
actually practiced it yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. We had a dive training yesterday. And so a couple firefighters from Faribault Fire Department have been trained in that. And so we just practice it. And like you said, in that big, beautiful shed of ours, we tied ropes to some posts. And it was heated, and it wasn't windy and wet. And we were able to actually retain a lot more information if we were outside.
That's good.
Yeah. So, it was. That's one thing, and that's another nice thing about our new public safety center too is our training rooms.
Right.
We have 3 training rooms connected to our the building.
Okay.
And then we have 1 that's in that shed again. So we've been doing a lot of in-house training, like use of force training in our shed. Which has a mat room and everything else. And then our training rooms connected to the public safety center have been used quite a bit. We that's one thing we were looking forward to quite a bit, is being able to host actually training, save some money, host them in a nice building. So,
have you gotten to the point yet where you look around and think, how did we ever function without this facility?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when we got our first side-by-side ATV, we're like, what do we do without this thing? You know? It's like, oh, for sure. There's been a lot of growing pains, but we're getting through them.
Yeah.
You know, they say 6 to 12 months, it's going to, you know, we expect growing pains for 6 to 12 months.
You got
to
break it in.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. All right. So, what else, Captain Boudin? What else do we need to
I don't know. We're always hiring. You know, I mean, we've got a correctional officer opening right now.
Okay.
You know, I'll say it and give credit to everyone else out there in public service. It's important. So if you're thinking of a job, not sure what to do, it's important to give back to your community. Not just police, fire, EMS, but teachers, social workers, you know, parks, highway maintenance, anyone that wants to give back to community. You know, I think that's find a purpose in your job is important, right?
Yeah.
You know, we want to thank them. And just anyone in public service, make sure to thank them, you know, for what they do. Give them some grace, you know.
100%.
Some realistic expectations out there too, right? Like,
we're
not all perfect. We're trying to make our community better. So
right.
Make sure to thank someone today. We've got next month we kind of talked about that, what's coming up. I mean, just a month from now we got, you know, the National Correctional Officers Week's coming up May 4th through 10th. National Police Week is May 11th through 17th with the Memorial, National Police Peace Officer Memorial Day being May 15th. But,
You know, that's Sheriff Thomas has a pretty poignant story about, one of his first days on the job was, I can't remember the name of the officer.
John Liebenstein,
who died. And thanks for reminding me of that, because I want to ask him about that story next time he comes in. I mean, there are a couple of Rice County deputies that have given that last measure of
So we had one devotion last month, and there's an anniversary, and that was that was on March 11th of 1994.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Hansen had died a result of a heart attack after a high-speed pursuit. And John Liebenstein died on May 3rd, 1996. And that was, he got crashed into from another pursuit where the suspect rammed his squad car. So they're gone but not forgotten.
No, absolutely. And you guys have a nice memorial to those guys at the in the safety center, too. The tour we took, they were very deliberate about making sure that we saw that and understood exactly what that was too. And I appreciated that.
Yeah. So there's three training rooms that can be all opened up into one big one or divided into three. And so two of the three rooms are dedicated to both those deputies.
That's awesome.
And then we have a memorial wall where we swear in every new employee in front of their badges and a big patch of ours. And we explain, you know, the importance of what we do. And
The
realistic dangers.
Right. So, Well, so, Captain Boudin, thank you for your service, sir.
Thank you.
We absolutely, and it's always good to have you here, man. Anytime you want to come in and say hi, you're always welcome.
Mm-hmm. All right. Appreciate it.
All right.